The word today is churches. Welcome to The Word Today with Pastor and Bible teacher Paul Schrader. When John the Apostle wrote about the revelation he had on the island of Patmos, he wrote what Christ told him to say to each of the churches in Asia Minor. Each church received a personal message. Here to discuss each of these seven messages is Pastor Paul Schrader on The Word Today, Churches.
Well, today I'm going to do something that I very seldom do. And those of you that have listened to these broadcasts over the years and over the decades, by the way, this is our 43rd year of broadcasting, The Word Today. I probably, in those years that have passed, have probably only spoken about the revelation of St. John maybe two or three times. I don't believe it's been over that. And today I'm going to be referring to the revelation of St. John, the last book of the Bible. The reason I don't say more about the revelation of St. John is that it's apocalyptic language, meaning that the language is very mysterious and very figurative, and as a result, most people, probably nobody here on earth, knows exactly what it all means, but there are parts of it that are clear, and one part of it that is clear that I want to talk about today is the second and third chapter of the Revelation of St. John, way the last book, way at the end of the Bible. Now there, in chapter 2 and 3, it talks about some of the congregations that St. Paul had set up in Asia Minor there. As a matter of fact, some of these places are very much still there. For instance, the ruins of Ephesus, boy, that was a magnificent city. A few years back, I had the joy of going and looking throughout the whole area of Ephesus. In fact, I walked from one end of the major road, I guess you would call it the road that goes all the way from the hills where Ephesus is located, all the way down the main road, all the way to where the port was. It doesn't go all the way down to the water now because it's all been filled in there. And so as a result, it's quite a distance from where the port would be. But it is the same road, the road that has been excavated there. And there's all kinds of huge buildings and shops, and you can see where the original library was and where the gymnasium was, where the Colosseum was, and so on. Just a fantastically beautiful place to wander around and to look at that ancient city of Ephesus. Well, the first letter that is written here, as John is talking to the church at Ephesus, John says, he's quoting Jesus, by the way. So these references, these messages to the churches, are directly from Jesus, as Jesus revealed to John in his vision as he was there on the island of Patmos. He reveals to John what he should say, what Jesus wants them to hear, and what he should tell the churches, first of all, beginning with the one at Ephesus. And I want you to perhaps turn, if you have a Bible handy, or make a note if you're driving along, just quickly jot down Revelation chapter 2 and 3. Do that when you're at a stoplight or something like that. Don't risk making notes while you're driving. That's too dangerous. But remember that, and when you get home, pick up your Bible, look up the second and third chapter of the Revelation of John. And you will see that at the end of each of these messages, and God gives these churches each a message, and at the end of each message, he says the same thing. Now you that have an ear, let him hear. In other words, pay attention. Listen carefully to what you're going to be told. And so each of the congregations were supposed to listen very carefully, tune their ears in so that they don't miss anything, and hear what God has to say to them. Now, the first church was Ephesus. And basically, they were doing okay. These seven congregations, Ephesus was, I guess you wouldn't say it was the worst one. Things were going along fairly well there. But he said, you have had perseverance and you have endured. He says, I want to give you credit for that. You were faithful. You have not grown weary. So you're still hanging in there and your faith is still doing pretty good. But in verse 4, he says, but I have something against you. I want you to know there is something that is wrong, and there's something that's not quite right, and I want to explain it to you so that you can do something about it. And what their problem was that they had lost their first love. You know, when someone first comes to Jesus and they recognize him as their personal Savior, they are filled with joy. They are so happy to be forgiven, and they're so excited to know that they are saved, and they don't have to worry anymore about those things, that their joy is so full, and they want to praise God. They want to thank him. They want to do something to honor God, and they are so full of joy that they just can sing and pray and rejoice because they have a first love. It's just like falling in love for the first time, and they are so filled with joy. And what Jesus is reminding them of is that here at Ephesus, for the most part, the people in the congregation had lost their first love. They weren't as excited anymore about Jesus. They weren't as thrilled anymore about their forgiveness. And as a result, they weren't really living up to what God expected them to be. And so he wanted them to pep it up, to get with it, and to become more diligent in their worship. The second church that Christ gives a message to was at Smyrna. Now, they had even undergone some persecution and suffering. It was very severe there. And that congregation was faithful. They hung in there. In verse 10, do not fear what you are about to suffer. There's going to be persecution. There's going to be a time of testing. Don't be afraid. I will be with you. I will make sure that you're going to make it through. And so he's kind of preparing the church there in Smyrna. And he says at the end again, whoever has an ear, let him hear, let him listen, let him pay attention, because this time is coming and I want you to make it through safely. The third church was Pergamos. Now, they had kept the pure doctrine, even though in that city, in Pergamos, there was a throne to Satan. It was one of the strongholds of Satan. Satan had a lot of followers there, and the Antichrist, we could say. There was a counterfeit. They were trying to teach the truth, and yet they did not teach what Christ wanted taught. And so God commends the church at Pergamos and says, well, you've been faithful, but I want to warn you, be careful, because you are in the place where Satan is working very strongly. Keep an eye on Christ. Focus on the real thing. And that's what he wanted to say to the church at Pergamos. Then there was a church at Thyatira. One of the things that Christ says to them and acknowledges is that they are trying to live a pure life. They're trying to be right with God. They're trying to follow God's advice and God's will. But in verse 25, he says, nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. He knew there were going to be some problems. And he promises them in verse 28 and 29, I love this, to Thyatira. He says, I will give to the church there the morning star. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the morning star, and he's referred to that way throughout Scripture. And then he says the same thing again. Now, if you have an ear, pay attention. Listen closely to what I am saying. Now let's go to chapter 3. There's three more churches that he sends a message to. The first one is Sardis. Sardis. Now Sardis, in the beginning of chapter 3 of the Revelation of John, he says, "Wake up, wake up, you're asleep. You're not paying attention to what is happening. You act as though you are alive, but you're really dead." Oh boy, I wonder if that refers to your congregation where you go to church. Sometimes they act like they're so full of life and yet they're stone cold dead. They really don't teach the truth. They really don't live morally. And there's all kinds of corruption going on. Oh, I hope that's not the case in your church. That's what was happening in Sardis. And so God reminds them, pay attention, have an ear, you better listen. Then the Church of Philadelphia. Now, Philadelphia, the city of love, we would say, brotherly love. And the church there, in verse 11, he says, "I'm coming quickly, hold fast what you have in order that no one take your crown." He says, you are believers, trust faithfully, don't lose your crown. Lend your ear, listen, verse 13. And then the closing church that he talks to is Laodicea. Act boldly. He said, "I know your deeds, and you are neither cold nor hot." He tells them, this is terrible. You're not cold, you're not hot. I don't like that. I will spew you out of my mouth. He wants you to be on fire for him. He wants you to love him and act like you do, not be cold and dead. So he tells them again, listen carefully, lend your ear and follow it. I hope you saw your congregation somewhere in here and that you will warm up, listen carefully, that you will be alive, keep the crown of life, trust in God, be fervent in your faith, stand against all temptations, and resist the devil. Be strong in the Lord.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for The Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find The Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you. So visit thewordtoday.org. to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support The Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at The Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have The Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's thewordtoday.org. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.